Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So what do former Taoiseach, GAA managers and government ministers have in common? Well, it would appear they're all in the mix. Perhaps to be our first citizen, the former Dublin GAA manager Jim Gavin is the latest name to be linked now with a bid for the presidency. The Dublin football stalwart is believed to have been approached by a number of Fianna Fáil TDs and senators to seek the party nomination. Let's have a quick word with Mary Wiegan now, the Irish Independent's political editor. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Claire.
You've been hot on the trail of this now, and I see your front page again this morning. What is happening with Jim Gavin?
Yeah, things are really moving quite fast in Fianna Fáil, because when we spoke to some of the TDs towards the end of last week, his name wasn't there at all or wasn't mentioned. But yesterday, throughout the afternoon, word started trickling through that Jim Gavin is the latest name. And this one seems quite realistic, I have to say. The former Dubs manager, as you said, who, you know, led the Dubs to the historic five in a row, is being talked about amongst TDs and senators. And he's seen also as someone who would have the backing of the party leadership within Fianna Fáil. Now, we don't really know for sure if he wants it himself or not as of yet, but there are some people in Fianna Fáil who think that his name could make its way onto the pitch, possibly as early as the next 2 weeks.
And then we had that interesting development over the weekend as well, where Nicky Byrne, Bertie Ahern's son-in-law, re-released a clip from a podcast which was done last year with Bertie saying why he might be a good fit for the job.
Yeah, clearly having a little bit of fun with this, because Nicky Byrne, whose father-in-law obviously is Bertie Ahern, he did a podcast with him back in December, but he posted it on Instagram over the weekend as though it was sort of new. And in it, Bertie Ahern is talking about how, you know, he's the most qualified person for the job, you know, listing out his credentials and saying he's thinking about it. So this sort of fueled speculation really as to, you know, what Bertie Ahern's thinking might be, because certainly when there had been a big vacuum within Fianna Fáil over the past week or so, when the TDs and senators didn't know what their party leader was thinking, when Jim Gavin's name at that point hadn't been in the mix and some other names were in the mix, people in Fianna Fáil started talking about Bertie Ahern and, you know, that he would be a credible contender, they thought. Now, there were people in the party also who opposed that idea, and the leadership would certainly oppose it. But TDs were talking about it. Bertie Ahern himself hasn't ruled out the possibility of running for presidency. And here we had his son-in-law over the weekend sort of teasing this clip of his father-in-law saying, I'm the best man for the job.
Mm-hmm. Although we do know now that there seems to be a bit of growing frustration after Billy Kelleher started the ball rolling with the statement at the end of last week within Fianna Fáil, saying to me, Micheál Martin, look, get this thing done, have a meeting, sort it out, give us a chance to have our say.
Yeah, and I think that's what has been happening over the past week. Between Fine Gael having its renewed selection process for their candidate, and also some independents in government coming out saying that they would support Heather Humphreys, it sort of spooked Fianna Fáil TDs. They didn't really know what their party leader was thinking, and so they stepped in to fill that vacuum themselves. But I think what has happened and what has changed is that the position of the party has really crystallised that they do want a candidate. They want a Fianna Fáil candidate, you know, not to back someone running as an independent. And they want to be in it to win it. Mm-hmm. So Micheál Martin was put into a position really where he, I don't think, again, as you said, with Billy Keller's intervention, I don't think it was really plausible for him within his parliamentary party, at least, to say, we're not going to have a name on the pitch here.
And Sinn Féin, we had Matt Carthy here on Friday, and try as I might, I couldn't find out exactly when they're making their decision on a candidate. But again, Mary Lou McDonald teasing us over the weekend, not ruling herself out again.
Yeah, so they're also taking on a bit of a holding position, I think. You know, they're probably watching really what Fianna Fáil is doing, in the same way that the Fine Gael sort of frenzy of action forced Fianna Fáil into some momentum. I think we can see if things play out a bit more and we have a bit more clarity in Fianna Fáil, that could spur Sinn Féin into some action. I think if Jim Gavin was to be Fianna Fáil's candidate, that would certainly be
feed into Mary Lou MacDonald's thinking, because he is a Dublin candidate. He would have a strong vote in Dublin, a kind of cross-party support, given his role there as the Dubs manager. And I think Mary Lou MacDonald might look at that and say, you know, I'm not going to put my own name forward up against him, because she can only really contest this race if she really believes she can win it, because it is a risk if she doesn't win it. So what we could see with Sinn Féin, if Fianna Fáil have a name on the pitch, if Fine Gael have a name on the pitch, and then there's the independent Catherine Connolly, I think Sinn Féin might find itself in a position that it does need to enter the race, and they'll probably put forward a candidate that is very credible, that does well, someone like Roseway Conway Walsh, the Mayo TD, but not someone like Mary Lou MacDonald, who it would be ultimately, I think, a bit of a risk for her to run and not to win it, because after all, she's the party leader and that would sort of undermine her leadership going forward.
That's all good crack. And it's very serious as well, of course. Mary Regan, thank you very much for joining us. Now, there's just some of the names in the mix, but what exactly are they letting themselves in for? Let's find out a little bit more about the job of president. I'm joined in the studio by broadcaster Cathal Mullany. Cathal, you're very welcome.
Morning,
as
Pat.
All of this happens in the ether around us, we just want to focus on the role of president and how the job came about, first of all.
Yeah, so if you go all the way back, Claire, back to the foundation of the Irish Free State in the early 1920s, we had a Governor General for a little while, for about a period of 15 years or so, until the Constitution came into play in the late 1930s. So essentially the Governor General, very similar role to what the President took on thereafter. It was a representative of the monarchy, essentially, in Ireland. Very ceremonial role. That's a word we've heard a lot bandied around about the presidency over the last number of years here as well. And really not generally involved in the day-to-day politics of the country at that time. And then the president of Ireland role that came after that then largely followed a similar pattern.
And how did the political parties view it at that time in the early days?
It was very much off-Broadway, I think will be the fair thing to say about it. The day-to-day politics was taken on by the government and the cabinet, and obviously the government took the day-to-day decisions that were required to run the country, and the president then remained above politics, as is the case generally now as well. And the parties mainly interested at that point in trying to get it into government as opposed to the presidency. If we look at the first president, Douglas Hyde was an agreed candidate, someone who had a tradition in the Irish language sphere and came from the west of Ireland, a Protestant family in County Roscommon. But by and large, the president was someone that was viewed as above or beyond day-to-day politics.
But then that starts to change, isn't it? And there were attempts to get more involved in the day-to-day.
Yeah, there were. I think if you go all the way then up to the kind of 1970s, when there was attempts maybe to change things from a presidency point of view, when Erskine Childers came in as president in the 1970s and attempted to try and reinvent it a little bit and maybe become a little bit more hands-on. Now, that was met with some resistance from the government of the time, the Fine Gael Labour government and Liam Cosgrove as Taoiseach. There was reported tensions between Áras an Uachtaráin and the government at the time. Erskine Childers had an idea, I think, to set up a think tank within the Áras to imagine what a new Ireland might look like as the country tried to modernise from the 1960s onwards, but that was met with some resistance. And I think maybe some people in government viewed it as maybe as a little bit of a threat from the presidency as well to maybe get more involved in day-to-day politics. And that didn't really take off at the time, and it very much remained as was then after.
Okay, and of course, President Childers died in office then in 1974, succeeded by President O'Dolig, and there was controversy, of course, there too.
Yeah, there was, because his presidency was short-lived as well. He resigned from the role, Clare, after controversy with the government as well. It all centred around the referral of legislation to the Supreme Court. That was the Emergency Powers Bill. It wanted to extend the minimum period of detention without charge to seven days from two, and that was referred to the Supreme Court to test the constitutionality of it, and it was deemed to be constitutional at the time. But the government viewed that as maybe procrastination at the time, and there was a controversial comment then reportedly, allegedly made by Defence Minister Paddy Donegan when he was addressing troops at a barracks in Mullingar, that the president was a thundering disgrace. And the president, O'Dolig, at that time viewed that as a breakdown in the relationship between the government and himself as president that was irreparable, really, at the time, and he resigned from the role. So that was the only time that a president has resigned.
Yes. So, Len, looking at where the role is today, how it's viewed and how people come to that role, would it be fair to say that the role changes depending on who is in office?
Yeah, I think so. And I think some presidents, maybe in more modern times as well, you know, Michael D. Higgins has made comments around the housing situation a couple of years ago that garnered a lot of attention at the time. And that's because, as I said at the outset, generally the president doesn't tend to get involved in decisions made by government or policy made by government, though they are kept abreast of what is happening in terms of the policy direction of the government by the Taoiseach of the day. But I think there will be an emphasis, and there always seems to be in elections, a challenge for the candidates and the parties involved to define what the presidency actually is in a more modern Ireland. And we obviously have a much changed political system now as well in terms of the party shape of it. I think that's going to be a big challenge for the candidates that we do see that do eventually emerge, how they're going to frame their presidency and what they can actually achieve in an office that is bound quite tightly by the parameters within the legislation that's there.
Cathal, thank you very much. Cathal Mullany there.